Paul Jones, who's the Raptors radio analyst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So it's like two Jones for the price of one tonight.
That's right. And we sit across the court from one another. And it's, incidentally, that was the last time we worked a game together in Detroit. And
really?
Yeah. Eric and I were at the hotel. We check into the hotel and knock on my door. It's like, you know what it's like in a hotel, Blair. Like, go away. Who's knocking on my door?
Well, it depends. Like, frankly, Jones, it depends who it is.
Well, sorry, Mr. Blair. I don't get those knocks.
No, I'm saying it might be somebody bringing me room service or something like that.
I don't order room service. The food, it comes up cold and it's never what you want. No. Mm. Anyway, so the knock on the door, I open the door. I didn't even say hello. It's like, what the hell are you doing here? And he said, well, somebody was sick, and I just finished, the Senior Bowl or something. Like, I was close by, and they said, you're next man up. So I went over and knocked on the door beside me, and Eric opened the door and said, what the hell are you both of you doing here? So the three of us went out for dinner, and, that was the last time we'd worked a game together. So actually only Mark's never called a game at the Air Canada Center. I think it's the fourth time in the whole time we've doing this that we've actually worked on the same game. So it'll be cool. I mean, he's coming in from Memphis. He'll look like a bag of toys and feel like one, but such is our life, right?
Exactly. And it's a good game to work too. Now the Nets are a bit of a mess right now. There was something about the Nets last year that certainly didn't strike you as being sustainable to begin with. But Jonesy, I think 10-12. Look, I think a lot of people thought they would be a worse team this year. But it's just the sense around that team. Like, you know, you think back to when the Nets moved to Brooklyn, they were sexy, they were hot, they were going to be the next big thing in the NBA. And man, they're uninteresting right now, which is probably the worst thing you can say about a team. They're uninteresting.
They made a big splash early, and the owner was willing to throw money at everything. And I mean, look at what he did that one summer, right? Grabbing Pierce and Garnett, and they hired Jason Kidd as the coach, and they were swinging for the fence, and everybody bought the paper hype. They're a team to be reckoned with, and they had a tough time, quite frankly, they had a tough time. They had a terrible start. The Raptors probably had them on the ropes and couldn't finish off a veteran team. And then they went out quietly against Miami and the thing fell apart. So I just think that, there's no cheating the process, Jeff. We've always talked about it. You got to build it properly. And I was on with the morning show guys yesterday and talking about this in Toronto. Dwayne Casey came in and, he said, all right, took a look around the house and somebody wants to pick out the color of the cupboards in the kitchen. He's like, are you kidding? We got water coming in the basement. Like, let's fix this thing properly first. And he built a defensive foundation. They were in games. They didn't have the talent to play offensively. They took the air out of the ball. They slowed it down. And they became a defensive team. And then the next year, you saw what happened when they tried to say, okay, let's jump to the offense. They got off to a 4-19 start. And after that, they figured it out, and they finished a game above 500. Last year, it's like, okay, we're going to go with defense. And they make it another trade, start to work out. But I just think you go slowly. Now you're at the point where you can worry about offense and rotations and specific matchups and all of that, because you've built it properly and you've got a foundation to fall back on. And I think the Nets tried to fast track it, and I'm not so sure it worked, that quickly. Although they've got smart people there, I'll say this, Billy King, and I think he knows what he's doing. So, they might back up a step and then now try to start building it properly.
Paul Jones is a Raptors radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. The Nets, of course, beating the Raptors 97-96 in Game 7, their NBA playoff series last year. Jonesy, what do we know? What do we know about the Raptors now at this point? And they do have a chance to win their 20th game before the Christmas break for the first time in team history. What do we know about this Raptors team now that we may have suspected but weren't certain about on that day in which they were eliminated by the Nets?
That if they continue to play defense and had a little more offensive firepower, they're going to be dangerous. And that's what we're seeing this year. The last three games, teams under 100. Mind you, people will say, well, look at the quality. Well, it doesn't matter. You can have a buck 25 hitter at the plate. You still got to throw strikes. And that's where they are right now. The last few games, their defense has been better, and they continue to score offensively. And I think that's what the problem was last year in the playoffs. Their defense was okay, but and it's the experience part of it too, Jeff. They struggled with the physicality, as Dwayne calls it, the mental toughness around making clutch plays down the stretch. That, you know what, you're not going to get a call, so you better play through the contact. When you V-cut to get open and the guy's got your arm, the ref's not going to call that. You've got to arm bar and get open and catch the ball and then make a definitive move. You know, when you throw it into the post, you can't have it tipped. You got to up fake and bounce it in there or get it to that big guy. Those are the things that I think they learned. And I think that's what we learned about them was if their defense is good and they get the right people on the floor and execute offensively, they're going to be really tough. And look at them this year. They're leading the East, and I think you've seen all of that right now in their 19-6 record.
What really is remarkable to me about this team is, you know, the fact that they are 6-3 in DeMar's absence. They're still shooting .470 from the field during those games. They're fourth in that category, also fourth in scoring without DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, we knew this team had good depth. We knew that Lou Williams, the difference Lou Williams was making, and of course the difference in the bench ever since that deal for Rudy Gay last year. But I got to tell you, I honestly thought, Paul, with DeMar DeRozan out, I thought there was going to be a major drop off offensively.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, I didn't. I really didn't. And this is what, you know, people laughed. I said they're not a sprained ankle or a bad knee away from disaster. Next man up, Patrick Patterson has played really well. Lowry's picked up his scoring. I mean, I don't think you want Kyle to continue at this pace because you do need him. Again, you're going to be judged on what happens in late April, May, and hopefully June, not what happens between, you know, November and the middle of April. This is where this team is at right now. They want him to win a round. They want him to advance in the playoffs. But, everybody's stepped forward. Lou Williams has played better. Valanciunas is rebounding like a fiend. He missed the fourth straight double-double by a bucket in New York. They're not a sprained ankle away from disaster. They've got quality depth. They've got good chemistry. They play for one another. A guy like Landry Fields sits on the end of the bench and waves his towel, and then Dwayne Casey says, hey, dude, you're in the starting lineup? No problem. He gets in there. He plays. He doesn't try to do more. He doesn't try to step outside of his role. And everybody's happy for him. They play together. Did you see Kyle Lowry's reaction when Landry Fields hit the three?
Yes.
We watched Landry Fields stand in there and work on his shot the same way I was teaching my 10-year-old, put the ball in his hand and coming back from this nerve damage. They have something really, really good going. So I wouldn't say worried, but really concerned. And let's face it, they're going to go out west after Christmas. There are no layups. There are no gimmies. You got the Clippers. You got Denver on the back-to-back where you lose an hour. You go to altitude, and it's the Denver airport, I think, might actually be in Cheyenne, Wyoming. That's how far the drive is once you land. Then you got Portland. You got Golden State, and you end in Phoenix. There are no layups there. So if they come back and, you know, they've been beat up a little bit out there. They've at least built a cushion, but, you know, you're expecting DeMar back soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're really, really they're really in a good spot right now, but it's up to them to help determine their own destiny by keeping it going.
What is going to tell us when the Raptors go on the road, when they embark on that lengthy trip they created by the World Junior Tournament? What is going to tell you, Jonesy, that they are in the right place in terms of the right mental place the right physical place, the right place in terms of their game? What are you going to look at and say to yourself, all right, this, you know, it's never a good time to have a road trip from hell, but if you're going to have the road trip from hell, this is probably a good time to have it.
One, I think how they go into it, and that thing starts in Chicago on the back-to-back next Monday after New York. So, you know, like I said, there's six games, no layups. What will tell me their mental state, how well they play, how well they compete physically, how hard they fight, especially in that Denver game when you're a little bit, you know, beat up after playing the Clippers on the long flight out and the back-to-back, as I said, altitude, losing an hour. I mean, Denver's record, I don't remember what it was, but 2 years ago, I think they were at a point since 06 where they were 54-1 when a team was coming in on the second night of the back-to-back from the West Coast time zone. Like, you can mail that thing in. I mean, that's a tough game. But what will tell me is they're how hard they compete. Mm-hmm. Are they in these games? What's the body language like? You know, what is their defense like? Because your offense may go in the tank. Your legs may not be there. But if you can guard somebody, you know, you look at the same indicators, defensive field goal percentage, you know, turnovers, those kinds of things will tell me about the team. And quite frankly, I think it'll be a good challenge. And they're probably looking forward to it. Having a little bit of swagger, Jeff. Last year at this time, we could see that they were starting to believe. And the wins turned that belief into a solid, you know, confidence that they understood, hey, we don't think we're good. We know we're good. And now we're going to prove it. You guys might not believe it, but we know it in this room. And we started to see that. And I think they've taken it to the next level now where, yeah, we know we're good. We know what we're capable of, and so do you guys. So we're going to come out and play like that and show you all the time.
What have we learned anything about Dwayne Casey in the absence of DeMar DeRozan? Because the one thing that Dwayne's had since he's been here, for the most part, he's had DeMar, and he's been able to rely on DeMar, and DeMar's become he's become an all-star player. Have we learned anything about Dwayne as a coach just based on what we've seen from him without DeMar?
I think he's growing as a coach. I think that's what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about the end of game situations. The Raptors, I think, have the second or third most wins in that, you know, you can break the clutch stats down any way you want, but I look at one possession up or down with a minute to go. They've got, you know, I think the second or third most wins in the NBA. They're right up there. I think he's growing as a coach. I think you've also learned that he really, really sticks to his philosophical beliefs. You know, I'm sure he wasn't happy about the team scoring .110 every game and, you know, letting teams score 51 and beating him like 110, 102. Mm-hmm. But he'll take it and he'll keep, you know, pounding and espousing the you know, the fact that you've got to play defense in the playoffs and it'll come back around. I think he's a tremendously consistent guy, Jeff. DeMar DeRozan laughed and said he's been the same guy since he got here, and he has. And he's a good teacher. I think he's a really good listener, and he's growing as a coach.